Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God come into flesh. In fact, let me just give you a little lineup of who Jesus is as a little, litmus test for all of us, for all of you that may be asking the question, who is he? And after we look at this, then we'll take our next caller. Jesus grew up as a carpenter's son. He never went to college. He never got married, contrary to Dan Brown and his fallacious, fictitious writing about it. He never commanded an army. He never received any applause from man. He never owned a home. He never committed sin. The Bible says he's high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners.
Amen.
He died as a criminal at the age of 33. He changed the human calendar forever. He rose again after the third day. He ascended back into heaven, and he's coming soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus Christ is in a nutshell.
Amen.
That's the brief overview of who Jesus is. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
We do, and it is good to hear the standardization crew in the cockpit this morning. We got the 2 highly qualified pilots up front.
Praise the Lord.
And we've gone back and forth between the turmoil of our times and who Jesus is. And so I want to bring the two together and talk briefly about who Jesus is, because Pastor Davis referenced Psalms 91, verses of which say, only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. No evil shall nigh thy dwelling. Okay? You don't need to worry about the arrows or anything else that bothers you, because he is in charge. And I link that back to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, that really says it all. It says, the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe, just like Psalm 21 says, under his wings you will trust. I said that to make this point. Jesus is particularly a couple of things to me, and I'm going to point that out in the end. But let's talk about quickly all the other things that he is. He's prophet and priest and king, isn't he? Yes, he's the suffering servant, the salvation available to the whole world through the shedding of his blood. He's the conquering lion of Judah. He's that one on the white horse that God has given direct charge to be the judge of the nations. He is the one through whom everything that we see and experience was made, wasn't he? He was the one through whom God created the world, the pre-existent one who I think Proverbs chapter 8 says that his delight was in the sons of men. He relates to us. So here's who I think Jesus is, and I think it's found best in John chapter 15. I'm going to read John chapter 15, verses 15 to 17, because this is what the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is to us in a time of turmoil. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus Christ is my Savior, he's my friend, and he tells me those mysterious and amazing things through his wonderful word that the Father wants us to know. And if we know them, and if we do them, then we do bear fruit. So I Amen. Ask four questions that I ask people every time I have the opportunity to share with them. Four questions. First, in this time of turmoil, it's particularly appropriate. What do you believe, or do you believe? What do you believe? What do you really believe? And as a result of what you really believe or say you really believe, what are you doing about it? What you do about produces that fruit, and that fruit is what we produce because we love our friend who loved us enough to die for us. Jesus, my Savior. Jesus, my friend. God bless you, gentlemen. Keep flying the ship. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thank you so Amen. Much. For
Amen. Amen. And that, let me say right there, Dr. Youngblood, thank God for you, Brother Woody, because this is what was on my heart and mind to really say at some point in time in this broadcast.
Amen.
It hinges on what we believe,
yes.
Dr. Youngblood. If he's not your Savior, if you don't believe that he has the healing power, the delivering power, and the saving power to keep you, even at such a time as what we are facing right now,
yes.
Then, Dr. Youngblood, the word of God is not for you.
That's right.
When I go here, and I'm just going to do a couple of scriptures and let you go right on, amen, to the book, amen, of the same book, St. John, amen, chapter 19, verse 35, talking about when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross and when they got ready to take him down, they didn't break any of his legs because the scripture said not one of his bones should be broken.
That's right.
This is what the brother had to say in verse 35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe, not that they might believe at that particular day and time, mm-hmm. but someone coming along such as us in this day and time
that
we're living in right now. Once we read this word of God and believe,
amen.
The record is there to help us in our belief. Amen. So then we go to John chapter 20, verse 31, here's what John had to say. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that ING carries continuity. Mm-hmm. Amen. Doesn't mean that you believe one time mm-hmm. and you stop.
Continue.
Amen. You have to continue believing in Christ as Savior, as the Anointed One. And that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen.
What better life can we have, Dr. Youngblood,
right.
than to believe in Christ that he is our Savior, our God, and
said,
our King.
As Peter
Amen.
Said in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And that is the declaration of our profession, of our faith in him.
Amen.
But, Pastor, one of the things that we look at so often in a biblical text and kind of nonchalantly gloss over it. And that is in Luke's gospel, the second chapter, in the seventh verse, and in the unit of thought, it's talking about the birth of Jesus. And scripture says, and there was no room for him, for them in the inn.
My, my.
And if we could take that, ladies and gentlemen, just apply that today, there seems to be no room for Jesus in the 21st century America that we're living in. And
Amen.
Now I even say globally. We find the secularist, the humanist, we find the socialist, the Marxist, the Maoist, the communist, and the Democrats pretty much in the same category, if I could say that boldly.
Amen.
There is a refusal to talk about anything that is spiritual, godly, and a rejection of Jesus Christ. How could we say it otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, when there's an overt attempt to cancel celebrations like Christmas,
Amen.
And to tell Christians that you ought not to gather in your home and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus,
and Dr. Youngblood, let me just add a note to what you just got through saying.
I'll
keep your thought right there.
That's right.
It's sad to say there's no room for him in some churches.
That's right.
Oh, that's hurtful. That's hurtful. That hurts my heart.
Yes.
Because every church, to my way of understanding it, I mean, if I'm wrong, I can be corrected. That edifice was built in order to have a place to go and worship.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you're going to worship Jesus as Savior and as your Lord and as your King.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, Dr. Youngblood, along with all of those groups that you just named that don't have room for him, some churches don't have room for him either.
You're exactly
right.
It's
a sad situation.
And the sad thing is that we find churches and so-called ministries that focus on everything but Jesus.
Amen. Jesus. Amen.
And yet we find, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, who is Jesus? Feel free to call in 831-0917, 831-0917. Tell us who Jesus is to you. Who is Jesus in your life? Who is Jesus in your home? Who is Jesus in your work? Who is Jesus in relationship to your modus operandi, that is, the way you carry out your life? There was no room for Jesus when he was born into this world. And Jesus' birth, ladies and gentlemen, is God incarnate. It's the incarnation is the theological term that we use in Christian circles and especially in a Bible college setting. It's the incarnation where God literally became man. And when God left heaven's glory and came to earth's gloom and made his debut in that little town of Bethlehem in an animal's stall in desolate area, when Jesus Christ was birthed, the world was looking for a deliverer, a king, a savior in that sense. They
Amen.
Were not looking for a savior of mankind. So therefore, he was rejected. He was ridiculed. He was crucified and died on the cross. But the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is no longer just a babe in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, it's all right to have a manger scene. It's all right to talk about Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem. But if we continue to worship him as simply a babe to be awed and recognized over as a babe in a bassinet, a babe in Bethlehem, a babe in a manger scene, if that's all we see is Jesus, we're in trouble.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that we have a world of Christians that that's the only Jesus they see. They do not see Jesus high and lifted up. They do not see, so many do not see, and perhaps you're in that category today, ladies and gentlemen, you do not see Jesus for who he really is. There's an old song that says, "Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." Jesus is the sweetest name. In fact, Pastor, I want to just read a little blurb from a theologian of yesteryear, Dr. Emory Bancroft, that's B-A-N-C-R-O-F-T, in his book, Elemental Theology. You
Amen.
Have that book
Amen.
In your
we
library.
Have it. Amen.
Elemental
good book.
Theology.
Very good.
When introducing the subject of Christology, Dr. Bancroft said this, "Jesus is the central figure of the world's history. The world cannot forget him while it remembers history, for it is his story. To leave him out would be like astronomy without stars. It would be like botany without flowers." And then Dr. Horace Bushnell said, he's another theologian of yesteryear, "It would be easier to untwist all the beams of light in the sky and to separate and erase one of the primary colors than to get the character of Jesus out of the world today."
Amen.
End quote. And ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate Christmas, he is truly the reason for the season. I know it sounds cliche-ish, but Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
But the latest Pew Research study, Pastor Davis, says that only, listen to this statistic, only 46% of Christians, only 46% of Christians.
That's a small number.
Celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday.
Amen.
46%. So what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? That means that the other 52% are celebrating Christmas simply as a secular holiday, as a time for frivolity, a time for getting together, and as I put it, at a time for a drunken bash,
amen,
a time,
amen,
to just let everything go loose in their lives. And that's not what Christmas is about, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas is about celebrating Jesus Christ's birth. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about giving him the greatest gift that we can give ought to be ourselves, our lives,
amen,
and,
amen,
then our time, talent, treasure, and testimony given to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In fact,
praise the Lord.
Pastor, I want to read a verse that is in the scripture about the birth story. It is one that most people are familiar with, but nevertheless, I want to read it anyway. It is in verse 35 of chapter 1 in the Gospel according to Luke. And the angel answered and said unto her, that's the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
It is the declaration of the virgin birth, where Jesus Christ comes into this world via the virgin's womb. And Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, God incarnate. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came into the world, into this world, in Bethlehem, at the birth of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. But, Pastor, one of the things that multitudes of Christians do not fathom, they've not grappled with, they've perhaps not even been told, Jesus Christ existed before Bethlehem.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He didn't,
amen,
just begin to exist in Bethlehem.
Amen.
In John 8:58, when he was faced with his detractors, he said, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
He is the great I am of Exodus chapter 3, as you stated the text. He is the I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. I am your Savior. I am your friend. I am the controller. I am your counselor. I am the creator. I am the sovereign one. I am that I am.
Amen.
Jesus said. And God says in Exodus chapter 3, speaking of who he is. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ preexisted before that,
amen,
before the birth in Bethlehem. Pastor Davis, take a moment and read for our audience today, John chapter 1, the first four verses, and then,
amen,
we'll talk about that. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Amen.
Fantastic study on the preexistence of Christ. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the question, who is Jesus? Love,
amen,
to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917. Who do you conclude that Jesus is? Is he just a person? Is he just a historic figure? Or is he God? If he is God, is he sovereign? Is he Savior in your life? Do you know him personally as Savior? How are you going to celebrate Christmas? Are you going to bow and bend at the whims of the wishes of the secularist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, Joe Biden included? Are you going to take a stand and say, we are going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Who,
amen,
is Jesus according to John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Amen. Verses 1 through 4. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen.
Amen.
So that's kind of telling me right there, Dr. Youngblood, that was his time of formal introduction to the world.
Yes.
Because in the beginning, God was speaking to somebody when he said, let us make man in our image.
Yes.
Amen. So that lets me know right there, someone had to be sitting right by his side for him to speak to. So when we read the scripture and come to know and understand, Jesus was right there.
Yes.
And then he carried out the orders that the Father gave him, because the scripture is telling us right here, all things were made by him, verse number 3. And without him was not anything made that was made. Amen.
See, that's a
so he is the creator.
Yes, that's a wonderful, fantastic text, Pastor. And for the benefit of our listeners, is when you go to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, and it's not talking about the big inning in a baseball game.
Amen.
In the beginning, that is the word archaea, back and back and back and back and back before everything was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then when you look at this text in John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, it is the Logos of God, the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to man through man, human being, that God came in the form of a human being.
Amen.
It is the pointing out to the fact for us, ladies and gentlemen, that before the world began, Jesus Christ was and is. He came into the world. He broke upon human history in the scene that you find in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. But he preexisted. In fact, Pastor Davis, in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 13 through 18, it recites that.
Amen.
It says that everything that was created that's visible and invisible, everything that's seen and everything that's unseen, everything that's in heaven, everything that's on earth, everything that's beneath the earth, everything that has been created was created by God. And in the 17th verse of that Colossians chapter 1, it says, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
He is the divine creator. He is the divine controller. He is the divine super glue that holds this whole world together.
Amen. I'm so thankful.
That's
Amen.
Who because Jesus is.
After all these years we've been here, and a brother and I were talking about this on the other day. The whole time we've been here, Dr. Youngblood, not one time has a planet fell from the sky and hit us on the head.
That's right.
Not one of the stars. He's holding everything together,
he
and I'm
the
so
divine
thankful.
Super glue. He holds Amen. It together.
Amen.
I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Pastor Youngblood. Christmas greetings to both of you, Pastor Davis.
Yes, Merry Christmas Amen. To you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, right.
And, thank you.
Yeah, praise God. Who is Jesus to me? Bless the Lord. I'm saying that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. Because years ago, as I'm going to use Pastor Youngblood's expression. I like it. He said, less than 100 years ago, as a teenager, he knocked at my heart's door, and thank God I opened the heart and said yes to him. So he is my Savior. He is my Lord. He's my King. King Amen. Of kings and Lord of lords. And I am gracious. I'm thankful for that assurance that I'm not just I'm the child, the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, praise God. I'm thinking of it that what other way could God, you're coming to earth, as you have been talking about, God coming to earth to carry out redemption. He could have done that anyway, could have just appeared among humanity. He could have chosen any other way. What massive, what powerful authentication that he chose to give to family life and marriage. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Amen. You think of how the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords decide to come to earth by honoring a young virgin engaged, a young couple, a special couple that he had prepared, had been preparing the nation of Israel, and this young couple engaged to be married, and God chose to honor marriage in such a way, eternally honoring what we're trying to wipe our feet on it, marriage and family life. We're tearing it down, we're destroying it, we're doing everything, my God. But we have this is God eternally gave his authentication to marriage and family life. Praise God. So thank God for Christmas that every year, no matter, we come together and we know what we're celebrating, the coming of Jesus Christ. We might not understand everything, but praise God, one of these days, hallelujah, when he returns, we'll see smiles, we'll hear his voice. Amen. Thank you very much, and have a
yes,
good day.
Yes, thank you so much for that testimony. Thank you for the joy in your heart of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the key. That's the very essence of this season. Is Jesus is the reason for the season. And if you can't rejoice over that, you need to get saved.
Amen.
If there's some way, somehow, that you cannot celebrate Christmas with the open heart and the joy of saying that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Not only, ladies and gentlemen, is he creator, he is the creator, he is also the controller, and he is the comforter.
Amen.
He is the
Amen.
Comforter. John 14, 16 and John 14, 26, it talks about that Jesus says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another is the little Greek word allos, one just like me. Jesus said, I'm going to send
Amen.
Another one just like me. He's going to be the comforter. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we serve one God. He's the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father sent God the Son in the form of man. God came in the form of man that he might be upon this earth for some 3 years for his ministry, that he might live, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, be buried, and on the third day to be able to rise again, and is seated in the in heaven today on the throne, his throne of glory, interceding for us. And he sent us his comforter, and that's the one that walks with us and talks with us. That's the one that gives us comfort and joy and peace, even in the midst of tribulation
Amen.
That we're faced with. But most of all, Pastor Davis, before we close this broadcast, Jesus Christ is Savior.
Amen.
He is Savior.
Amen.
The scripture says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
In Matthew 1:21, and she began to bring forth her son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So, ladies and gentlemen, celebrate Christmas. First of all, having Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Pastor Davis, we've got about 45 seconds. Would you take these 45 seconds and share your thoughts and your desire for our listeners to celebrate Christmas and why we celebrate Christmas and what needs to be done?
Amen. And let me say, Dr. Youngblood, I am very thankful and grateful for this broadcast at the time that is coming.
Amen.
We truly need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But I thank God that he gave us a gift, Dr. Youngblood, that we don't have to wait until Christmas to receive it.
You got it. Amen.
We don't have to wait until Christmas to open it. Amen. And then we don't have to pay anything for it because he came as a free gift to all mankind.
Amen. It's a free gift of eternal life. There's
Amen.
A song that says there's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on there once again as we face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.